Okay, ladies, take it away.
All right. So this is Lucy Waite, and I am in Southern California. I'm the field service manager for Southern California and Arizona. And it is actually, it was stormy, rainy yesterday. So we got some of our good winter weather yesterday. But today, where I'm sitting, it's sunny and mid-60s. So we don't get much snow here. I mean, there are some areas in my zone where there's snow, Flagstaff, Arizona, sometimes in parts of California, via skiing areas. But we do get tons of rain. So dealing with rain, puddles and gutters that are flowing with rain are usually the biggest things that occur. Puddles can be things that dogs might avoid. So that's something you might want to work on with your dogs, getting them comfortable walking through puddles, although you might want to avoid the puddles as well. So, you know, depending on where you are, use your best judgment. One thing to do if you're working on getting a dog comfortable with puddles or enjoying walking through them rather than avoiding them is to use the clicker. You can just go out and heel your dog to a known puddle and step by step, take a step into the puddle with the dog. And when they step in the puddle, they get click and food reward, and just step by step go through the puddle that way. And then they'll enjoy going through the puddles more, or be more willing to, rather than going around them. Other things to consider might be gutters with rushing water. So you might have a dog that stops prior to the curb edge. So just being aware that that could be the thing that's preventing them from getting all the way up on the curb edge, and then taking that one big step over the rushing water. Let's see. Raincoats, I looked up today. Raincoats are $24 from the Guide Dog Gift Shop, and they're nice. They have a reflective strip. So that's one thing you can always consider. And the raincoats also prevent wind. So they have a little bit of added benefit that they can keep a dog a little warmer, but not as warm as when you're out in Chicago weather or something. Let's see. Anything else about rain? I don't know if people have specific questions about rain.
Does anyone have any questions about rain for Lucy?
Hi, Lucy. It's Sherry from Toronto. How are you?
Hi. Good, thanks. Good to hear you.
I bought two other raincoats other than the one from GDB, because it doesn't really, the one from GDB doesn't cover their stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So I've bought one from Roughwear that has the panel that goes down the front, because when I was working, I didn't want to bring in a sloppy, wet dog to work, and then my poor puppy smelt all day. So I found that the sun shower coat from Roughwear is a really good coat. It's a bit more expensive. And also RC also carries a good raincoat that covers the tummy area also, because it wraps underneath.
Excellent. And did you get the pro purchase program from Roughwear?
No, because apparently they told me that they don't offer it to Canadian clients.
Oh, right.
They only offer it if you have an American address.
Is that only online? Do you get it online?
Yes. Well, no, actually, the Roughwear coat that I bought, I had to go to a store in Toronto called Dog Father, and it's quite expensive.
I know it. It's at Young and...
Young and Rosedale.
Young and Rosedale. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I paid almost $100 for that jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And my first puppy raiser asked me where I got the coat. She found it on one American site, I think maybe Amazon, and she got it for $49. I wanted to die.
So, and they've got their Black Friday sale on right now on Amazon, just so you know.
Oh, good to know. On both American and Canadian?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but when I phoned Roughware to ask them about the percentage and if it applied to Canadians, they said no. Only if you get it shipped to an American address.
Mm. Okay. So who's going to volunteer?
Well, I guess that. And one with an American address can buy a whole bunch of them and then deliver them up to Canada.
Exactly. Or if you know you're visiting a puppy raiser, you get a whole bunch of them, ship them to your puppy raiser, and pick them up and bring them back. Mm-hmm.
I have a question with Jason here. Sherry had mentioned about when your dog gets all wet in the rain, they're going to smell like a wet dog. Is there anything you'd recommend that you could, I don't know, like spray on them or like something that would take the scent of the wet dog smell away when your dog's in the rain, been in the rain?
You know, they do make some nice, mild scent. I can't think of a brand right now, but I have seen them at pet stores. Stuff that you can get that has a little bit of oil in it, so it's a coat conditioner. Has maybe a lavender scent.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was wondering if like those sprays might, with some dogs, if they have itchy skin, if those sprays would make it more irritant to them. So some of them do have an oil base to them?
I have seen some with oil base, a spray with an oily base, yeah.
Okay, so it's more like of a coat conditioner, as you said.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, the other thing, talking about wet dogs, is that that problem that you get them inside and immediately they shake.
Yeah.
So thinking about that and trying to have them shake just before you go in the building, maybe under the, you know, overhang of the building before you go inside.
How do you get them to shake?
Usually they're just going to do it if you stop. In a dry area, they're just going to naturally do it. You could use the clicker and click that behavior, because I've known plenty of dogs to know the command, you know, shake, you know, just pairing the word shake with when they're doing it, and they can catch on to that pretty easily.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Okay. This is Frank in Wisconsin.
Hi, Frank.
My dog, she, when I take off her harness, she'll shake. And so a lot of times just before I come in, I'll take off her harness and I'm just holding the leash and then she'll shake. And for some dogs, that's kind of like, okay, I know it's all right for me to shake. And she's pretty good that way.
Okay.
Yeah, it is definitely a natural behavior for them to just sort of fluff their coat back up when the raincoat comes off or the harness comes off.
Any other questions about rain for Lucy?
Matt, I can chime in real quick. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dog, she will walk around puddles and walk me right through them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anybody else has that problem, but she loves to walk around them, and I end up walking right through them. And I don't know if that's normal for guides or if it's just my guy that does it.
Mm. I would think a lot of guides would do that. They're going to avoid getting their feet soaking wet. So like I said, you can walk with them through the puddle and make it a real positive experience using food. But once they have their own mind, they're likely to avoid the puddle, especially if it's a habit of theirs.
Okay.
Any other questions about rain? Thanks. Okay, let's move on to snow.
All right, let's move on to snow.
We've gone from
precipitation.
We've gone from sort of late fall to the dead of winter. So, Lauren, are you the snow expert?
I am the snow queen.
Frozen 2 comes out today, you know, by the way.
Yeah, near and dear to my heart is protection in the snow. And I also wanted to just super quick, somebody was asking about sprays, body sprays. You guys were talking about that a little bit. And I just wanted to mention that I've found a couple that are really nice and gentle. I think the really natural ones, I've found a couple that are very, very natural. There's nothing artificial. I'm not necessarily, it's not a recommendation because different dogs are sensitive to different things. But I just generally speaking, I'd say the more natural that you can go, the better. Try it on a little section first for a week and see how that goes. The one that I love is made by CloudStar. They make different treats, and they're a very natural company. And I just there's a lavender and mint one that I really like. So, and it's just, I'll read, I have it right here. The ingredients list is water, natural conditioner base, aloe vera juice, essence of lavender, essence of mint, and then vitamin. They have vitamins in there too. I don't know why, but
CloudStar. CloudStar.
Yeah, CloudStar. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Great.
So I've had a lot of luck with that one. Anyway, I just wanted to add that. But getting on to snow, so, you know, by far the main consideration in really snowy areas are paws, you know, your dog's feet, because, I mean, you know, you've got so many cities use tons of salt and ice melting chemicals, and which is great for traction and to keep the ice from building up and, you know, helping you not to fall, but it's really, really hard on paw pads. So you all have the Roughwear Barkin boots. Not all of our dogs love them. Some of them will walk slower in them. Some of them don't walk at all. So yeah, there are some alternative booties if you're interested. And it's just, you know, protecting your dog's feet is just such an important thing. So the booties that I always recommend, and I know some of you have tried them, I know Roxanne loves them, the disposable booties, the paws, are a nice alternative, because dogs that don't like those heavy structured boots, they can feel the ground in the paws booties, because it's just a layer of rubber between them and the ground, and they are much more, they feel much more comfortable. Their gait is much more natural. So it's a nice alternative. And most of our dogs wear a size large. It's the purple booty, the size large. And there's a lot of wiggle room as far as size. So if your dog is a little bit smaller than the large, between a medium and large, the large will shrink down to fit their feet. Anybody else have experience with paws?
Are those the balloon boots?
Yeah.
Those are great.
The balloon boots.
Yeah.
And they're not for escalators. So any of the alternative booties, or most of the alternative booties, are not appropriate for escalators because they could get caught. So the Roughwear, those are the only ones you want to use for escalators. They're wonderful boots. It's just, you know, not all dogs love them, and it is nice to have an alternative. So the paws booties protect feet from that burning, ice melting product and the salt. And it prevents that lovely crow hopping.
Yeah, it's Sherry from Toronto. On my guide dog Atlanta, I use the paws on her front two paws,
mm-hmm.
and I use the Roughwear on her back paws.
Great. Yep.
Now, only thing that I'm noticing, though, with the paws, and I've used them for the last 6 years, because she's okay with using the Roughwear in the back, but she hated those booties in the front.
Yeah, because of
and
deep,
so I started using the paws, but I noticed that their pads start to sweat a bit inside.
Yeah, they do tend to sweat. So they're not for long-term.
Yeah, I usually take them off when we go inside or into malls. But I'm wondering,
yeah, that's right.
Have you used the Musher Secret together with the paws? Is that something that is necessary or not really?
It's not necessary, but it is nice to have that extra layer of protection. So the paws, as you know, so the paws, for people who don't know, paws are disposable. They come in a pack of 12. You can reuse them, but they don't last very long because they're just a natural rubber. They're like a balloon. They will break down and their nails will eventually go through. So if you're using them, keep an extra set on hand just so that you can change them out if you need to. And you can put the Musher Secret on as well. You can always use Musher Secret. It's a really nice conditioning product. It helps to protect. You can rub it on your own hands, which is always nice. It's non-toxic and it absorbs really well into the paw pads. And then, like I said, it does give the paws and that extra layer of protection. It may help a bit with the sweating too. I don't know if that would be the case. I would be interested to know. It might. I think that the sweating aspect of paws is just something that probably just need to avoid it by removing the booty as soon as you get to your destination.
Right. Yeah.
Some people do use the paws indoors for traction too, like for older dogs. So they can wear them for a bit indoors. And I think different dogs sweat a different amount. So it's you just have to be careful. But they're really nice for protection against the ice.
I agree 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's great, Sherry, the wearing them on the front, because you put them underneath the dew claw. You don't put them over the dew claw. They go under. That way the dew claw is not rubbing. And then using the rough wear in the back, it's a wonderful combination.
Yeah, she does very well. And, you know, she puts, when I go to put her rough wear in the back, she automatically picks up her foot for me to put them on. So
great.
It's good that way. The paws in the front, it's a little bit more hassle, but I use, you know, food reward. You know, once I get to put them on, I give her praise and I give her food reward. So that when I go to put the next one on, she's fine.
Oh, this is Frank in Wisconsin.
I
sometimes do is not only to protect from the salt and stuff, but my wife buys the little baby socks, and we slip the socks on and then put the paws on over them, and that kind of insulates them. They can take the cold a little bit better because they're not directly on the concrete or in the snow. And then we just use them as throwaways. We don't use them over and over again. And she seems to be doing pretty good with it, my guide Raven, and she doesn't mind them at all.
Great.
Okay, I have a question. So what do you do, and this happened to me actually, we got our first snowfall in Toronto last week, when you get up in the morning to go to work or whatever, and the plows or the street clears haven't come yet, and you've got the sidewalk is full of snow, and there's no pathway for you and your dog to navigate. What do you ladies suggest in that situation?
Yeah, you know, in that situation, well, first, I think it's so important for the dog to learn the route before the snow, which is why I always recommend, you know, try to graduate before there's snow so the dog can learn the route the right way. And then once it is covered with snow, they can remember where that sidewalk is. So a key part of working a dog through the snow is having your cane, using your cane in conjunction with the dog, kind of going back and forth, which, so you can either If you work the route sidewalkless, you can, you know, transition into the street for that particular route if it makes sense. So, you know, just change the way that you work that route, work it like you would any sidewalkless route. And you can use your cane in that situation to make sure you know where the edge is on a given day, because it's always changing. You know, it melts a little bit, the plows plow a little bit more. It's always changing. So that's where the cane can really come in handy. If you cannot work the route as a sidewalkless option, then really going through the dog will remember where the sidewalk is. So, you know, if you just kind of have to be creative, wear really good boots, and, you know, go out to the place where the sidewalk is and just tromp right through it. You can also, you know, you can use your cane. Sometimes getting one of the support canes with the ice tip, ice grip tip, can be helpful because you can kind of just use it to plunge right through the snow and use the gripper tip to find where the sidewalk is, see where the ice is. You know, it's almost like kind of four wheeling through.
Have you seen those in Toronto?
I haven't, no, but I haven't really looked either.
Okay, because I haven't seen those tips yet for the canes.
They, let me see where I. So
I think it's
Maxi-Aids. Yeah,
which
they
one?
Sell them. It's they have an ice grip tip, and then they also have a single safety spike. So there's a multi prong ice grip, and then a single spike.
Sorry, Sue, who has that?
Maxi-Aids.
Maxi-Aids?
Yeah, Maxi-Aids.
Okay.
Lauren, what's the maximum amount of time you should be out with your guide? I sometimes worry that their feet are going to get too cold, and if I'm traveling a distance in the snow and it's sub-zero temperatures, do we have a rule of thumb or some gauge to go by?
You know, there's no set temperature. I think that, you know, if there are warnings about low temp, you know, if you have to worry about your exposed skin and they're recommending, you know, not being out for more than 30 minutes, that's when you want to make sure that, you know, if you're going to be out, get to where you need to be. In that type of weather and those types of conditions, I recommend adding a coat to your dog's gear for sure. So anything below, I'd say, you know, our dogs are pretty good until it gets to be like down into the, so if this is Fahrenheit, down into the teens or single digits, that's when you want to start adding a coat.
Right.
There are some really, and so if you're going to do that, there are some really nice coats that are very low profile, very easy to use, that in just a single layer can make a big difference for a Labrador.
Yeah.
They've already got the nice double coat. Some dogs have a thicker coat than others. But just adding that single layer can really make a difference. Or if you prefer, you can get the warm cozy coats. Ruffler's got some good ones. RC Pet has some good ones. The one that I really love is the stretchy micro fleece. There's no buttons or snaps or anything. It just slips right over their head, and you put their feet through the front, and it just goes along their body. It covers a little bit of the tummy, and it's nice and comfortable. Off, stretchy, and it. I'm gonna find for you what the name is. It's Gold Paw Stretch Fleece. It's a pullover. Gold Paw.
Okay.
Gold Paw.
Yeah. I have a rough wear winter coat for Raven. It's a rough wear, and she seems to do good in that. I just worry about their feet getting too cold in deep snow.
Yeah. Yeah, so feet, a couple things to do. Make sure the hair is trimmed between the pads or the toes.
Right.
Because that's where those ice balls can collect. So if they're walking through the snow with no booties on, the main thing that can happen is the balls of ice collect between their toes, and that's what causes most of the discomfort when it comes to cold and ice. Otherwise, their feet are usually, as long as you've got something on there to protect the skin, it's usually fine as long as they're moving. If you're at a bus stop for a long time, that's when you're going to start to worry a little bit. If you've got the really low temps, you know, we're down into the single digits Fahrenheit or below, you know, negative, that's where, you know, hanging out for a long time is not recommended. A little bit is fine. You know, you can wait 5-10 minutes for the bus, but I wouldn't, you know, it's not a good idea to wait longer than that, especially if they don't have that protection. So, and you can, you know, you'll know too, because they'll start hopping.
That's when you worry about it, when they start hopping, and you know that it's uncomfortable for them. And of course, I usually always have the boots on them in the winter time. Any time it's cold in the winter time, and especially if it's teens or lower, I make sure I have boots on her and a winter coat. But I was just wondering if, you know, even with the right protection and everything, is there a maximum amount of time that you travel time if you're walking? Like, we usually walk 3 to 5 miles a day, and I just don't know if that's too long a time or distance for a guide in zero weather or teen weather.
Yeah, I think moving is a big part of it. If the dog's moving and they've got foot protection, they're probably going to be fine going, you know, doing their regular routes, even when it's really cold. But again, if there are temperature warnings, frostbite warnings, good idea to just do what you need to do and then get back inside. Probably, you know, I would forego the exercise route for that day, forego anything extra, just do what you need to do and then get back in. It's the standing around and the waiting that, you know, those are the things that can really start to cause the problems. One thing I wanted to add about coats too is that because they can be bulky, and even the thin ones, you know, it adds a little bit of extra girth. We can just individually, if you're having trouble putting on the harness or if the harness feels tight, we could help you to adjust the harness, you know, just kind of talk you through adjusting the harness, what it should feel like, or send out a longer belly strap if you need one for the winter coat.
One other question. My dog loves to go out in my backyard and run around and play and bury her face in the snow, and she runs around. And what I usually do is set the timer so that she's not out there more than 10 or 15 minutes. Is that appropriate?
I think that if she has the freedom to come back if she needs to, I would say, you know, she could probably be out there a little bit longer as long as it's not, you know, really, really cold, like those, you know, those really low temps. But if it's, you know, in the 20s, again, Fahrenheit, 20s, 30s. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. We haven't hit the sub-zeros yet, but later on in the year we'll hit sub-zeros. But mostly it's been in the teens. And she just loves to run and bury her muzzle in the snow and play in it. She just has a lot of fun. And I just want to be mindful of how long she's out there.
This is Roxanne. I'm in the Chicago area. And just a couple weeks ago, we had snow, and it got down to, I think we had wind chills down close to zero, maybe below, I don't even know. And I've got a new guide that I just brought home in June, and he was fine out there sniffing and looking around, and I didn't even put a coat on him because he's made pretty thick coat already. So I haven't, you know, any type of coat on him. He is wearing paws, you know, when we're out walking. But if I just take him out to relieve, I don't even put the paws on then. He's got mushers on his feet every day, so we could just hop outside and relieve. But if we're walking on the salty street, then we do the mushers. And this is something I've told Lauren before, but I heard this from a vet a long time ago, because I wanted to know, well, how long can my dog stay outside, you know, if it's 20 below or 15 below when we're walking home from the train. And his rule was, if you feel cold, your dog probably has another 5 to 10 minutes before the cold really hits them. And that's not, you know, not discounting. I mean, if it's a really, really bad day and you know, the polar vortex type weather, that kind of stuff where nobody should be out. But, you know, if you're just walking home from the train and it's cold and you're not feeling cold because you're moving, your dog's probably okay.
So we've talked about snow. Lauren, you touched a little bit on ice. What do you recommend for, you know, you're walking to the train or the bus or wherever in the morning, and again, the salters haven't been out, and the sidewalk and the road is a sheet of ice.
Be very careful.
Yes, how much you can really do, I guess. I find my dogs tend to want to pull me faster when it's slippery, so I gotta.
Well, yeah, because it looks like it's fun.
Yeah. So.
You know, I think. Well, a couple of things. Unfortunately, trial and error works really well with ice. But if you don't want to rely on that. So, yeah, dogs do learn that you fall when they go fast on ice, and then they usually start to get a lot better once they realize that you're slipping or if you fall. However,
you hope.
If you don't want to rely on that, like what Lucy was describing for puddles, it works really well for ice as well. I would, you know, prepare, take some time, you know, find a weekend or an evening where, you know, you don't have to worry about getting to work, and you can just heal your dog. Go outside, heal, just have your dog in a heel, harness or not. Harness is good because, you know, then they'll pattern a little bit better. So just go out and show them, you know, when we get to this stuff, and they can tell the difference once they check it out. They start to learn, because at first dogs that haven't been exposed to ice before at first don't really know what it is. So once they're introduced to it and you show them that it's something that you need to show caution for, maybe show it to you. If you click for it, feed them at it, and then walk slowly, encourage that nice slow pace over it by using your tone of voice, speaking very calmly, you know, that's it, good girl, good boy, and then stop, feed another few steps, you know, and then once you're off of it, speed back up again, you know, just that kind of handling to teach them that this is something we need to be careful of. This is something I want you to show to me and stop for, rather than, you know, going around and having me walk on it. So yeah, it's a process for sure, but they do usually, and then wearing something on your shoes is a great idea. I just did a home interview with somebody in Calgary who had the coolest boots that had built in, I don't say, Canadians, tell me if you've seen this.
They're Canadian.
They have like not spiky spikes. They were appropriate for working with a dog, but they flip right out of the sole, so you can flip them back into the sole of the boot if you're not using them, and then you open up the spike in the sole.
Yeah, icers or something.
Star.
What's it called?
Part of the yeah, it's called Star. P A J A R.
Say again.
There's a lot of shoes like that that the ice fishermen use if you're ice fishing, and they just stretch over your shoe or your boot, and they give you really good traction. You just have to remember to take them off before you go indoors, because then it becomes they become really slippery indoors.
Yeah.
But they're great on the ice.
So for those in Canada, Mountain Equipment Co-op probably has them for those in Canada, I would imagine. Something.
What are they called?
They're just ice fisherman shoes, slip-ons, and they stretch. They just stretch over your shoe.
Par or something.
Yeah. Oh, Pajar. The boots are called Pajar.
Pajar.
Yes, they're Canadian boot, but they're not cheap.
So there's different things. Yeah. So there's a few different things. There's the boot. There's a couple of different boots. There's boots that have built-in spikes. The gentleman that I talked to, they were not Pajar. I'm familiar with that brand. They were much less expensive. I wrote them down somewhere, and I'm not finding it. And then there's the kind that you can put over your shoes. Yak Track are one that are really nice.
Yeah.
It's YAKTRAX.
Yeah.
And Columbia also makes a really nice grippy ice boot. They came out with it last year. And that's another one that I'm going to look it up right now. But
okay.
It's a proprietary sole that has, they're not spikes, but they have an ice grip, ice gripping tread. And I'm going to tell you what those are right now.
So I would think that, most outdoor stores would have these kind of things.
Yeah, you can order them.
Or get them online.
Definitely.
Yeah. Jason.
Yep.
May I ask a question?
Hey, Amit. How are you?
Yes, I'm good.
You won't have to worry about this year in Santa Barbara.
Yes, no, I don't. But that's true.
But you guys are also in D.C., aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm heading to the cold weather very soon. But I actually wanted to bring up something else. So, I have an 8.5-year-old black lab, and as he's gotten older, I've noticed something that sort of crept in, especially during the cold season. And when we're outside and we're sometimes near the ocean in the winter, in the evenings, it can get very cold. Nothing like Canada, but cold by California standards.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no carpet on the floor, and you can sense that he's a little bit uncomfortable. He only has so much hair on his belly. And what I've noticed is with age, as soon as we are out, he really wants to be relieved. And so there's a little bit of I've begun to notice that in the winter season, one has to be very careful when he's out, especially when I'm in DC or when he's on a cold floor. He would need to go, more frequently. And I don't know if there's any sense of that. I mean, if that's a pattern that we notice with older dogs.
I wouldn't think it would have anything to do with the weather. Unless his bladder shrinks because it's colder, but that seems a little weird. Yeah, it sounds maybe more age-related, or have you noticed a different amount of drinking that he's doing?
No.
You're giving him a little more water?
I think the drinking is the same. And what is really interesting is that before we head out, he's always relieved. So what I find really interesting is that, even though he's just been relieved, soon after being in a cold place, he would want to go.
Jason, maybe something something to ask a veterinarian.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Louise, did you have something, Louise?
Yeah, I could. I actually have a little girl, and she's a smaller dog, and she, ever since I've had her, and we've had colder winters here, you know, when we get out and we go, if we get out in the colder weather, I find that she wants to pee more. It's something she does, and it's, I know to make sure I give her more opportunities, but she'll go, and she doesn't beg to go, but I notice she'll shake to give me the warning that she's got to go. Her body language is different. It's, you know, and it's just the fact, and it's not, doesn't get as cold as other places, but I'm just saying is, for her living here, the little bit of cold weather we get, she does, you know, we go for a 6 or 8 block walk, and it's, you know, zero here, you know, would be 30, 32 there. She will go out and she'll want to pee when we start the route. She'll want to pee before we go inside somewhere, because it's going from the cold to the heat to the cold. Her body changes. Okay. It's something to make others aware of. It can happen to a dog.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That's interesting.
Okay. Lauren, this is Frank again. I noticed with my dog here in the wintertime in Wisconsin, her skin gets much drier because of the heat being on in the, in the buildings. And my vet recommended giving her fish oil capsules. Is this a problem that anyone else has had, or anybody else have any other recommendations?
Certainly, lots of graduates deal with that in Arizona as well.
Right.
And it's so hot and dry. So the same thing. Yeah, fish oil is something that a lot of people use. Just recall that it also has some calories. So it might cause your dog to gain some weight over time.
This is Kelly. I put coconut oil in my dog's Kong in the morning, and it keeps her hair or her fur really shiny and skin very, very supple.
I've heard of other people using coconut oil as well. Yeah.
Huh.
Is that safe for dogs?
Yep. I have not heard otherwise.
Yeah. Good to know.
I use it also.
Just getting into the aspect of safety, one other topic I want to touch on was now that we're getting into the holiday season, do you ladies have any, can you suggest any holiday gifts for our dogs that you would recommend that are safe for them to either play with or chew on? I know that this changes. I know that when I was at the school last time, they were quite keen on the deer antlers. And my vet says he's seen so many dogs wreck their teeth on that he recommended not to give them that. So I always hear sort of different things from different people. Do you have any thoughts about safe holiday gifts?
Yeah, I would recommend not, as your vet said, no deer antlers. I have seen some of them split because each antler is so different. I don't think they can regulate them. Like maybe Nylabone can regulate their bones.
Well, my guide dog Atlanta has broken both molars on each side on a Nylabone.
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah, every dog is a little different with the Nylabone.
It depends how they, I think, depending on how they chew.
Tell me about the Nylabone again.
Well, Nylabones are usually good for dogs, but depending how severe your dog chews, they can break their teeth.
So what
yeah,
do you recommend
so
in terms of
dog,
safe safe toys and stuff?
But they sell at guide dogs, and what guide dogs officially recommends is Go-Nut, which comes in some different shapes, a round donut, a figure eight that you can use for tugging, and more of a long rod shape. So those are rubbery. So they're nice for vigorous chewers, and they're not going to hopefully split their teeth on them.
I also find that West Paw is also very good.
Okay.
And
Lucy, have you heard about West Paw?
Is that a toy?
Paw?
Crestpaw, the company with the Boomy, and they have actual sticks like Gonut does, and they're for intense chewers. I know a lot of the puppy raisers are starting to use Westpaw with their puppies.
Oh, okay. I just looked it up. Yes, I have seen those Westpaw. They're not. They're probably a vigorous chewer could probably get through them. So I
yeah,
think,
you just have to watch your dog.
Yeah, I think Gonut.
It's a bone.
It's more of a rubbery material. And it comes in many different shapes. Yeah, like any toy, you have to monitor your dog. Some toys that I've found that are interesting are from Outward Hound. And they're puzzle toys. You can get food puzzles. So you feed them in a maze-shaped bowl, which is sort of fun and slows your dog down a little bit. And they also have a myriad of different puzzles. So your dog has to figure out how to open doors to get the food. And that can keep them busy for a long time. And especially if you're not able to get your dog out to exercise, at least they're exercising their mind, which can be, be good for a dog who's not getting a lot of physical exercise.
This is Danette. Mayor has lost a tooth because of a Nylabone. So what guide dogs and others have suggested, it's called a flexi Nyla. And it looks like a regular Nyla, but it's kind of rubbery. It's anything that bends, they say, is good.
Mm-hmm.
Bends and then springs back.
Okay.
It's called a flexi Nyla in chicken flavor.
Yes, I have one of those.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mayor, now I had to remove 20 Nylabones, different Nylabones, and now he has one flexi.
Well, they
work.
What about them?
They work, yes.
What do you recommend for treats? What are the? I know that changes from time to time too. What are the official dog treats that guide dogs recommend? I know it was belly bites a couple of years ago when I was last there, but maybe it's changed.
You know, I'm not sure what they're using in training. Do you know, Lauren?
I think the most recent one they added was the Real Meat, which is, I think it's a Canadian company, actually.
Oh, great.
Real Meat?
Yeah, Real Meat. I don't know if they're available at places like Petco or PetSmart yet, but they have really similar products that are so really.
Are they low in calories?
Well, yes and no. So it kind of depends on, you know, it's just meat as the name would suggest. So it's a really clean treat. There's not a lot of extra stuff. So, you know, and you can give a small amount and it packs a wallop for us, it's just got a lot of flavor and it's just a really, really motivating kind of treat. So you don't need to feed them a lot. It's jerky and it smells really good. It's just like regular, it's like people jerky, but without, you know, anything extra in it. And they come in there's little bites, like they have little shreds that, or they come in larger pieces. You can break them into little pieces. Any of, I think that Wellness has a similar product. It's not quite as clean, but it's mostly meat. It's got like 95% meat. It's that soft, soft jerky kind of treat. But as far as what they're using in training, I know that Oregon had added the Real Meat product, and I think they're still using Tricky Trainers. Are they, Lucy? Do you know?
Yeah. That's the last thing I had heard is the Tricky Trainers. Yeah.
Tricky Trainer?
Tricky, yeah.
The last one I knew was Charlie Bear.
Charlie bears are good.
And these are like little cookies, or they're meat things, or.
Well, for high value, the softer the better. Like that really soft, savory, small bit is the best thing you can use for a high value reward. But and then like Charlie bears are crunchy. Dogs love them. It's just not it's not as high value because it lasts longer on the palate.
Charlie bears, if you use them moderately, they're low calorie. They're very low calorie.
They are three calories a piece, which is really nice. So they are really good, and they do use those in training too. So those are good.
Yeah. I found some organic peanut butter treats that are really low calorie, and I forget the brand, but I mean I like them because Kiara loves peanut butter, and I just throw a few into the kibble bag with her kibble, and they come out as just something unique, different for her to have a treat when she's rewarded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Intermittent with a cup of food, I might put like half a dozen or a dozen in, just a small handful in with her kibble, and they come out and just as a higher reward or just as something different.
Okay. Any other questions for our panel?
Yes, I have a question, Jason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Lucy.
Yes.
I live in an apartment, and when the weather gets really, really cold, is it okay to play with your dog, like in the apartment hallway where there's carpet? Like, can your dog get rug burned on their paws?
Well, certainly they could. I mean, if it's real vigorous play and lots of quick turns.
Dog.
Yeah, I'm imagining the carpet is sort of an indoor-outdoor carpet, so it might be pretty rough on their paws.
Actually, no, it's of a softer industrial. In the hallways, it's very low pile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would think if you go overboard with any kind of play out there, that could hurt their paws. But I think, I mean, their paws are pretty toughened up from just being out on the sidewalk and crossing roads. That a little bit of play is not gonna bother them.
Okay, good.
Now I don't know about your neighbors.
I have really good neighbors. They all know Atlanta, so they're cool. I'm lucky that way.
Always check with the neighbors. Get them on side.
Oh yeah, they all love Atlanta. They all come out when they see her. So I'm good that way.
Can I just ask? I'm writing all this stuff down. I missed the cream that you put on their paws. Something secret.
Usher's secret.
Usher's secret. M U S H.
Mm-hmm.
ERS.
Mm-hmm.
And then that the boot with the ice catcher thing.
Ajar. PAJAR.
And there was another one too. Track. Which one?
Yak track.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Lauren. I got a question. An excellent winter survival guide, which has a lot of that information on our website.
Yeah, that guide's very useful.
Okay, so that's a great resource, actually.
Yeah, so don't rewrite the whole thing, Jason.
Okay, no, I always. Sometimes the answer is the most obvious. Check the website.
And Columbia boots?
So I was wrong. Columbia does have some good ones, but it's actually Merrell that has.
Oh, Merrell, yeah.
Yeah. It's the Arctic grip.
Yeah, Arctic Yeah, Arctic Grip for the ice, the Merle, yeah.
Yeah, really good. I've heard great things about them.
Okay, well, it's almost 8 o'clock Eastern. Does anyone have any final questions for our panel? We've had a good session here. Great session, actually. Thank you.
Yeah. Actually, this is Marian. I got a question.
Okay.
When you're putting your coat and the dogs don't want to relieve with their coats on and it's cold outside, what do you recommend?
Take the coat off. They'll relieve very quickly.
Yeah, but it's just trying
I know your hands wind up freezing, but
yeah.
Any other questions?
What was the name of that?
Well, I would.
Toy? Oh,
sorry.
The name of that toy? Was something like a puzzle?
There's a company called Outward Hound that makes a lot of different puzzles. Outward Hound.
Okay. Thank you.
So we've got a lot of good gift ideas here, both for our puppies and ourselves, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, and for yourself, stay safe.
And you cannot confuse them, right?
We need to get those boots.
Mary.
You can get those boards. Yes,
Mary,
I mean, those treats were being described, I was thinking, wow, those would be really nice. I was like, no, they're not for me.
Exactly.
I have an idea for Mary with the jacket and the dog not wanting to relieve.
Yeah, Louise, go ahead.
Yeah.
One thing, Mary, I'd make sure the first couple times when you relieve a dog with a jacket on, take them to a spot they're used to and they've been really rewarded at beforehand. I use a lot of times when I relieve the first time in a new spot, I always kibble reward as soon as they've gone. I make it a positive. And as soon as you get that jackpot, when they do it in a raincoat or a snow coat or any kind of coat, do a triple, like a jackpot right behind each other. And that will get them to do it right the next time. It was one how I got my girl to relieve in a raincoat when I wanted her to use it.
Hmm. Perfect, like anything else.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you can use the clicker if you want to mark that she did it, the dog did it, and then the rewards. But I just use a straight jackpot when they do something super, super in a spot you just don't think they're going to do it. And a time they're not going to do it. And I use a jackpot, one right behind another. And that really confirms, especially if you know you're going to reuse that spot, same spot, within the next within that time of that weather.
Okay.
Right. I hope it's set her up for success. So you know she's most likely going to go first thing in the morning. So put the coat on first thing in the morning, even if you don't need the coat that day. And then she'll likely go with the coat on.
All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up now. It's top of the hour. I want to thank Lucy and Lauren, our esteemed panelists. The only gift we have for you is our thanks. Sorry, ladies.
Thank you guys very much.
I want to thank Kelly and Amit for helping me do this call, and on behalf of your Alumni Association, we've hoped you guys have learned something. I know I have. I've got a list a mile long of things to buy now, so cha-ching.
I'm going
Black Friday.
We're all going to fit in your stocking.
Yeah, it's like Black Friday, revenge of Black Friday. Okay, everyone, thanks for the call, and I'm going to stop recording now.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.